97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 10:37 on a Tuesday night here on 97.5 The Fanatic as we go in the crease. Following Flyers hockey, unfortunately falling for the ninth consecutive time, where they have now lost winless in their last nine games, falling tonight in a shootout 4-3, hosting the Islanders. Nine rounds, as you just heard Jason Mertedis and Brian Smith discussing, nine rounds in the shootout. Unfortunately, the Flyers walking away without a victory tonight. So we can talk about that if you're still leaving the center. I know the guys said as they were doing the broadcast, many people were filing out. So if you want to check in with us here in the crease going until midnight, 610-632-0975. Again, 610-632-0975. The Islanders have now beat the Flyers in seven straight games. And again, the Flyers winless in their last nine. They will take on and host the Columbus Blue Jackets on Thursday night at the center. So they have a day off tomorrow to try to, again, continue to regroup and get things right and try to figure this thing out. And it hasn't been a good stretch for them, clearly. Again, losers of nine straight with this 4-3 shootout decision to the Islanders. Flyers are right now 13-18-8 overall in the standings in the Metropolitan Division with 34 points. And the Columbus Blue Jackets right in front of them with a record of 17-18-1 with 35 points. And again, that will be your opponent on Thursday night right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So I guess it's just, you know, just usual conversation with us right now with the Philadelphia Flyers and how they're performing and not performing and continue to have their struggles. They had their opportunities. They were up, as we know, 3-2 late in the third period. And a goal gets through, which forces the overtime session, going to the overtime, then into the shootout, where they have been struggling for so long now in the shootout, where they simply do not have success in the shootout, your Philadelphia Flyers. It's been an ongoing thing with this team, no matter who's in charge, as far as the head coach behind the bench. They have their struggles with the shootout. And again, nine opportunities, the nine rounds that were there for them tonight, and the Islanders, the one that come away victorious in this one once again. And the Islanders, a team that is 13-13-6 with 32 points. So they're right there in that same area between the two teams in general, where neither one of them are all that great, and they just simply cannot beat this team. Last night, also taking on the New York Islanders as well after the Sixers played early on. Flyers played late and later on in the day on Monday. Once again, falling to the Islanders in a back-to-back situation. Yesterday, 4-1. Tonight, 4-3. Again, the Rangers before that, 3-2. Bruins, the postponed against the Hurricanes, postponement against the Hurricanes. And they have to find their way. I mean, for goodness sake, can't they just figure this thing out and end it? We know it's not a good team at this point. We all got it. We all got it, right? We get it at this point. But, you know, what are you looking for at this point with this team? The losing streak is terrible. I mean, Wahlstrom, of course, scores in the shootout. And you feel like that early 1-1 is tied, then it's 2-2 tied, and you finally go up with the goal to make it 3-2. Claude Giroux snaps that tie with his 12th goal early on in the third. And they cannot hold on. They cannot hold on to it. And yes, we know that this is a makeup from November 30th for the postponement, but it's what it is. I mean, you got to go out there and they have to find a way to simply pick up a W. They can't get out of their own way and just find a way to get these W's, man. It's so frustrating to watch this team. We know Kevin Hayes is going to be out for a while with his issue that where he has to have the fluid drain. And it's really hard to talk about this team at this point with the way that they're playing, especially coming off of what the Philadelphia Eagles did, losing and finishing off their season. The Philadelphia 76ers are at a point right now where they're playing good basketball. Unfortunately for them, they lost on a Monday afternoon. They get back at it tomorrow. And the Flyers right now, man, are the ones that are really in a bad spot, in a bad place right now with this tough team that they are at this current time. So, again, leaving the center, you want to check in, talk about this team, simply voice your displeasure and lay out exactly what you feel the problem is still and why they just simply can't get out of their own way. 610-632-0975, because the team is not good. That is not any breaking news at this point with this hockey team. They are in the offseason. Once we get there, they're going to really have to figure some things out. We're starting with the head coach, of course, looking at the personnel, seeing what needs to happen there. It's going to be another offseason where Chuck Fletcher is going to have to sit back, take a look, and you know he's doing it right now, reevaluating things. Elaine Vigneault has started there with Elaine Vigneault and figuring out if he's the one that needs to be moved on from first. They did that. Now you come in and you make the change there. You put an interim coach in while they went on, like a 3-game win streak after that one, and get right back to their normal ways of unfortunately falling and going back to the loss column more than anything, not picking up any points, and they continue to just be at the bottom of the Metropolitan. And right now, just simply not a good hockey team. And they're just not a good hockey team at this point. They have problems. Carter Hart played well tonight. I'm not going to say he played great, but he played well enough for them to get a victory. But unfortunately enough, again, in the shootout, they have their issues where they were unable to find a way to come in and in that one for them, for him, and for the team overall, for them to look back at it and say, you know what, all right, cool, this is the one that we needed to snap this one and maybe, just maybe, start to look in the other direction with the arrow pointing up instead of the arrow staying flatline or still on that arrow pointing down of what this team currently is right now. So we're in the crease until midnight. We'll talk Flyers, certainly with you, 610-632-0975. Flyers fall tonight 4-3 in the shootout to the New York Islanders. They lose to them in back-to-back days, falling on Monday, falling again tonight, this time in the shootout. Yesterday 4-1, tonight 4-3 in the shootout. Pardon me. The goals for the Flyers tonight overall, as we look and see exactly what the team did, just to look at who did what and where the scoring opportunities did come for the Flyers tonight. You had some goals tonight from your guys. James Van Riemsdyk ties it up in the first period, late in the first period, with about 5 minutes and some change to go in the first period, evening the score up at 1-1 going into the first intermission. Second intermission, Josh Bailey gives them a 2-1 lead, but right after that, Travis Konecny ties it back up at 2. So they're still in it. They're giving themselves, again, an opportunity coming off of a bad situation there where they dropped 2-1, and right away we're just all thinking as we're listening here on the Fanatic, here they go again. But Travis Konecny ties it up. They do a great job to close out the period going into the first intermission. Come right back early. Claude Giroux again gets the goal to make it 3-2 Flyers, but they could not hold on with 4 minutes and some change to keep that lead and ultimately walk away with the W. Instead, the Islanders get a goal to tie it up. Then you go into the overtime, no goals scored, and the shootout opportunity once again, 9-9 until Wahlstrom gets one past Carter Hart to give them the 4-3 shootout advantage. Flyers fall once again to the New York Islanders. So they did get some goals from James Van Riemsdyk, Travis Konecny, and Claude Giroux. Unfortunately, not enough of the team effort in helping out your goaltender and making sure that nothing got past him for them to walk away with this victory. Next up on Thursday, hosting the Columbus Blue Jackets. The coverage beginning again right here on the Fanatic in the 6 o'clock hour. So get ready for that. Hopefully with the day off tomorrow, playing in back-to-back days with the Islanders gives them a little bit of rest. And you think about it, in the two games with the shootout victory tonight, they gave up 8 goals in 2 days and two games against the same team in this Islanders squad. And that's just simply not good. Simply, again, not good enough. We understand what this team is right now, and it's not good. And they, while we try to figure it out ourselves, and you have a pulse on what is going on and just simply looking at this team and stating that, hey, they're just not very good. They need to start picking up some of these wins. And it's going to take a lot for them to get back into it overall. But you have to start with one somewhere, and hopefully they can do that, just that, with the opportunities that they had these last 2 days, Monday and Tuesday. Hopefully they can do that on Thursday once again against the Columbus Blue Jackets back here in Philadelphia at the center. So another tough defeat for the Flyers. Great work, of course, here by everybody here doing the game on the Fanatic, and great work by you by sticking it out in that arena as you try to hope for the best with your squad. And unfortunately, them not doing their part and walking away with the victory, leaving you all frustrated, leaving the center, or turning the radio off at home and television off at home after witnessing and listening to the display of hockey, that the poor display of hockey that they put out there tonight. All the good stuff that you look at, it's eventually taken away because, once again, they lose one more time, and this time tonight in a shootout. That's all too familiar at this point with the squad. So 610-632-0975. Just a tough one again for the Flyers. We will take your phone calls as we go throughout the evening until midnight here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Doing that, we'll get into the Eagles as well. Some of the leftover things that we have to discuss with the Philadelphia Eagles and their season ending defeat in the playoffs against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's still one that's going to be a discussion that's going to go on for the entire offseason, where we're going to be talking about so many different things, from the head coach / offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, if he's going to return because he gets a new job or they just simply decide to move on from him, the quarterback, and all of this, the discussion that goes on surrounding him, if Jalen Hurts is good enough to lead this team for the next up and coming 2022 season, or will you have to look at some other opportunities, starting with Russell Wilson, moving on to Aaron Rodgers, potentially Deshaun Watson again, and maybe even just maybe the young quarterbacks in the draft upcoming in April. Because what we do know right now, as you project out with the quarterbacks in the NFL draft in April, while there are a lot of them that are talented, many of them overlook or look past them as saying that they are top tier quarterbacks, one that you use a first round pick on, at least very high. We have not had the combine, they have not had their pro days, and they have not met with general managers, head coaches, and owners yet on an individual basis, where you know that stuff changes later on as the process goes on. So while we'll look at so many different places for all of these potential draftees coming out of college, and the quarterbacks will be in the mix, but at what point will they be in the mix for them to actually be drafted very highly in the 2022 April NFL draft? It's hard to say right now until we see the pro days, the combine, meeting and speaking with the organizations, and we know teams will make their evaluation again on how they feel about a player at that time. And then we also don't know what moves teams are going to make that are higher in the draft than the Philadelphia Eagles, let's just say higher than the 19th selection, and we know they have 14 and 15 as well, higher than a 19th selection, where they might make changes from now to April, where they now need a quarterback and they might want to roll the dice on one of those young quarterbacks. Look at the New York Giants with two first-round picks in the top 10. The New York Jets, the same thing, even though they have Zach Wilson, so they won't do that. But others who might want to move up with the Jets because they have the two picks, or somehow, some way they want to do something, and these quarterbacks are now falling off the board. What does Howie Roseman want to do? What does Jeffrey Lurie want to do? If they also speak to one of these young quarterbacks and then look at them and say, you know what, maybe I do want to jump in on that and see exactly what we may be able to do with one of these young players coming in and at least challenging Jalen Hurts and seeing where things could go for the future. The very near future, of course, in 2022, but then seeing how he responds to that. And if he responds well or poorly, you still have one of these young quarterbacks for the 2023 season, if that's the direction that you would like to go. So there are plenty of things for us to discuss with the birds. A lot on the table for them. We have all offseason to do so. We'll mix it in tonight. Of course, we have an hour to go here in the crease talking Flyers and their 4-3 shootout loss. But also, we won't ignore the Philadelphia Eagles and what they could potentially be doing in this offseason. It's a very important one. They have a lot of names that we don't want to see come back. I'm sure that will be a show of ours in the very near future when we have more time. Not necessarily after a game, but we have longer 3-4 hours to discuss of names that you want to see them move on from. And I'm sure, again, we'll get into all of that as the offseason goes along. All right, the numbers 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens. Dan Fritz is here producing as well. We're going until midnight talking Flyers, talking Eagles. We'll do it all with you right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, 97.5 The Fanatic in the crease. If you are interested in talking to Flyers hockey after yet another loss tonight, this time in a shootout, that is 9 straight now overall for the Philadelphia Flyers, where they have lost 9 in a row overall, winless in their last 9 games. They have lost 7 straight to the Islanders in general, and they fall to them in the shootout tonight. 9 rounds, 1 goal in this one, and the Flyers fall short. Flyers and Blue Jackets back at it on Thursday night at the center. Hopefully the guys, the good guys, we still look at them as good guys. They just need to get a win. Hopefully they can get a win and put it together, man, because they really needed to put it together and snap this losing streak, this skid that they have going on right now, because it's not pretty. It's not pretty to see the brand of hockey that they're playing and where they are currently right now in the standings at the bottom of the Metropolitan Division. Carter Hart faced 31 shots tonight, saving 28 of them in regulation. Of course, overtime as well, and then the shootout where they just unfortunately could not get it done. 9 opportunities, 9 rounds for this hockey team tonight against the New York Islanders. The record stands at 13-8-8, 6-8-4 at home. The Islanders now 13-13-6, 7-7-3 away from home for them. And the last two that they pick up in the win column in their away record right here in Philadelphia against the Philadelphia Flyers, that they faced them in back-to-back situations on Monday. They were at New York on Monday, back here in Philadelphia, 4-3 tonight, 4-1 on Monday in New York. So, unfortunately, another defeat for them. At some point, we all think, right, they're going to get it together. We all hope that it happens sooner rather than later for the Philadelphia Flyers. As far as the Eagles go, and looking at where they are right now, and we can all talk about the disappointment in the playoff game, because it was. And quite honestly, as when we were talking about it going into the game, Derek Gunn and I on the pregame show, the brief chance that I had to speak with you on Saturday, Dan and I were with you on Saturday from noon to 3, live from Parks Casino. You know, a lot of discussion just simply went with, they're in the playoffs, and you know what? No matter what happens, it's great. It's gravy. It's gravy. No problems. Because we all thought that they would go out there and compete. They did not go out there and compete. For the people who did not get a chance to hear yesterday, just my thoughts on the game, different audience, different time. Let me lay it out, and we'll get Dan's thoughts as well after having time to let things simmer for him also. But for me, I felt like they were unprepared. We knew that they were a team that was not as good as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. even though they were a different team than the one that we saw in week six when they played the Bucks, falling 28-22, where that one wasn't that close either, even though they fell by six in that Thursday night game. We knew that they were not on par and on the same level of that team. They just simply were not. We knew that. But we thought that they would come out based on how they have played, the fact that the run game was a big identity of what their offense has been when they turned things around after week number seven, to allow them once again to go out there and compete, to put their best foot forward and to not lay down. And while I'm not going to say they laid down, because I'm not going to say they didn't try, but they were not prepared for the moment. The head coach and the offensive coordinator, while he did devise some good stuff, when it all comes down to it, when your team performs like that, gets down 14-0, eventually down 31-0, it goes back to him, number one, where D-Gun and I, before we signed off, said they cannot, again, get down and be behind because of another slow start. This is these Tampa Bay team, this is not the Washington football team, the New York Giants, and this is not a team that you can afford to get down once again and forge your way back, because you are not good enough to do that. You were barely good enough to do that against those teams that were, as we found out, inferior opponents to you. But as we talked about, when you are facing a much better team, you don't have the luxury of doing that, because that's not who you are. You're not built to come back against these good teams. And they did just that. So when we signed off, Derek Gunn and I, do not, if you win the toss, defer and give the ball away. This is something we said before the game. This is not anything that we decided to make up after the game. We said it before the game. Cannot get off to a slow start. Dan and I talked about it on Saturday. You cannot get off to a slow start. That's not who you are. You're not good enough. You can't do it. All they decided to do was simply go out there and say, hey, we won the toss. Let's give Tom Brady the ball. Give him an opportunity to go 5 minutes, double-digit plays, get his team into the end zone. The crowd is going to be fired up. It's the first game since the Super Bowl in the postseason. If you remember, they were the sixth seed a season ago. They got in. Every game that they won was on the road until the Super Bowl, which was in their building. But as you know, the NFL takes over the tickets. It's really not your fans in that building on that night. They were fired up for it. They had some of their players coming back. They had a lot of really good ones out, but they had some that were back. So it's the playoffs. Everyone is excited from when you're back at home. Even if you eventually lose, like let's say the Dallas Cowboys lose their home game, the crowd was still fired up. It's just a matter of your team going out there performing and matching the intensity of your crowd. You know you're ready for it. Tampa Bay was ready for it. The Philadelphia Eagles were not. The moment was too big for them. The head coach put them behind the eight ball right away by giving the ball to Tom Brady, allowing them to do what they did. You have a 7-0 lead. Todd Bowles then comes out and decides that, like a smart defensive coordinator, let's stack the box. You know the run game, again, is their feature for their offense. That's what they're going to want to do. Let's take that away from them and make the young quarterback, who you have questions about throwing the football already, let's take the ball and put it in his hands, cut off the right side of the field for him to roll out, make him go left, and see if he can beat us. All season long, we have wanted to see Jalen Hurts do that. There are a handful of games that he started this season where we put the victory on him and his arm and not just his legs based on what he is doing out there. He failed at the biggest moment and going out there and try to beat that defense and make them adjust to what they needed to do in stopping him with how he was playing. It's unfortunate, but that's where it was. And now, as Tom Alvord said yesterday, he left the door open for the opportunity for him to be criticized again and the chance for him, for fans, to decide if they want him back or not. They were unprepared. He was unprepared. The head coach was unprepared. The defensive coordinator, That's a tough one because, look, he has not been great all season. But my thing also is, sure, your personnel shouldn't dictate if you can try to put some extra pressure, like blitzing and getting after your opponent and the quarterback. But do we know? As much as we talk about Derek Barnett is not a good football player, you lose your best pass rusher in Brandon Graham, or one of your two best in Brandon Graham. Your two in the middle are good. Fletcher Cox is no longer great. You don't have a great linebacker group. You did not start off with your starting safety in Roddy McLeod. You had to mix and match there with certain things. Your corners were good and great. Steven Nelson was good. Darius Slay was borderline great this season as a Pro Bowler. Should have been an All-Pro. And we, as a collective group, talking about the Birds' defense, look at them and say, all right, they don't have enough personnel-wise defensively to be good enough. They're going to have to help the offense out, but they're not going to be good enough. We talk about 6, 7, 8 wins on the season. So at some point, we got to meet somewhere in the middle and saying he didn't have the personnel either, even with the scheme that we didn't like that he had. What was he supposed to do? Because it's a rebuilding year. They didn't have all the pieces that he needed. Maybe let's see what he does next season. That doesn't take away from the fact that he wasn't good overall, but how much of it was the fact that he had the players that he had or didn't have, and as a result, their defense was not good overall. Scheme-wise, you may not have liked it, but also, were those players able to run a different scheme if they just simply are not talented enough? They were not good. The normal stuff comes back up. Jalen Reagor. Yes, you got targets to Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. Dallas Goedert got a majority of it early. What about Devontae Smith? Why was he not, when he was single covered, getting the football and allowing him the opportunity to make plays? The quarterback missed him. Quarterback missed him. Find your best player. Feed him the ball. Yes, Dallas Goedert got it. Devontae Smith did not. Goedert dropped a couple. Smith didn't have the opportunity. Run game couldn't get going. They had to figure something else out. It wasn't their day. So, a lot to discuss there that we will continue to do so. Let's go to Dan before we get to the phones. I want to give Dan an opportunity, get his thoughts. Dan, I haven't talked to you since Saturday when we signed.
Yeah.
What do you think, how things played out for you?
Well, two sides to it. First and foremost, it was the playoffs. They weren't supposed to be there. They were there.
They were there.
So there was that much, you know, to be happy about. But when they come out and they give you pretty much what you expected, and as you alluded to at the top of the show, they didn't surprise, they didn't impress, they didn't take the ball off of the coin toss, which was the first line of, oh no, here it comes. And it's just like...
I agree with that, actually.
Huh?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, it's just, you almost want to be like, why? Why did you give Tom Brady any chance to breathe? And it's just, it's frustrating. But also, as you said, now the door is kicked wide open as far as possibilities of the trade and quarterback, and here we go again, and what are they going to do? And it's interesting because I started to look at the draft. Now, this was before this past weekend, so I think up to like 18-19 pick was set.
Uh-huh.
And just started to look at it. It's like, okay, who needs what? Who's ahead of the Eagles? And who also is looking for a quarterback? And we have said time and time again, there's just not enough quarterbacks in this year's draft that at least are on the radar and that people are talking about.
On the 18th of January.
You're right. Yes. But then you look at who else is in front of the Eagles, a lot of those other teams are going to be needing quarterbacks as well.
No, they are. They absolutely are. And again, that's just a matter of how things go from here to April and where they are. From here to April. And how things change for those franchises, what it might mean for the Eagles. And also, the Eagles do, in fact, have the ammunition to, if they wanted to move up, if they had their eyes set on one of these, let's just say it's Pickett, and they decide Pickett is the guy that they really, really like, and they decide that they want Pickett. Okay, if they want Pickett, they do have three first-round picks that they might be able to use to move up and get that young quarterback. If they, the run starts to happen, they get a sense that others are going to also be on Pickett the way that they are, and they flat out want him, then they have the opportunity to do so. Right now, it doesn't seem that that's going to be, and that's going to be, again, the biggest question of the offseason, starting with your quarterback and where they decide to go there and what exactly they're going to do with that. It's going to be a lot of pressure. It's a big offseason, again, for Howie Roseman and how he decides to move forward with this football team and putting it together, because they have a lot of holes, and it's something that we're going to talk about probably next week again when we have much more time to really dive into it, because we have plenty of different angles to discuss this football team and how they need to improve it, whether it's what we talked about earlier, where it's looking at this team, who don't you want to see back, or some other things where talking about this team as a 9-win team, but were they really a 9-win team? Listen, your record says you are who you are. When we talk about them being a 6-10 team in the past, they are who they are. When they won 4 games this season, they were who they were. They were that bad. Now, they're 9-8 this season. They are a 9-8 team, so we give them that. Doesn't mean that they were really good, though. Just means they got in because the NFL decided to add an extra wild card team in each conference, and they just happened to be the recipient of that. They worked hard to get there later down the stretch, and they got there. But we also saw that both them and the Pittsburgh Steelers, who snuck in the back door in the AFC and the NFC, neither team belonged in a playoff spot. So all they did was really give us an extra game. Yes, they got some playoff experience, which we talk about young players getting that experience and understanding what the playoffs are like. The speed is different and all of that. Well, they figured it out. And they figured out also that they weren't ready for it, that they weren't good enough to be there. And they got their, they got it handed to them. And that's exactly what they get. They got exactly what they were supposed to get. They are who they were when we finally saw them at the end, a 31-15 team that lost, losers in that game. And let's be honest, we know that 15, it wasn't even close enough to be the 15. Tampa Bay probably should have put up 40 spot on the Eagles on Sunday. It was an ugly playoff defeat, arguably discussed as one of the worst in the franchise's history. And we, again, we're talking about, hey, this is going to be all gravy because they're going to go in and they're going to make this a game. They're going to be competitive. They're not going to lay down. Well, they didn't lay down, but they weren't good enough and they didn't belong on the field, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, on Sunday afternoon. 610-632-0975. Let's start off things on the phones. We had a couple of people on hold. They dropped off. We apologize. I know Jim was there. I saw Jim. We'll catch up with him another time. Some others were there as well. But let's go to Rich to tip things off here tonight from Brick right here on 97.5 The Fan.
Hey, what's up, guys? I love your show.
How you doing, Rich? Thank you.
Not good. I'm disappointed. This is the first playoff game I actually shut off in a long time at the second quarter. I'm just so frustrated because, you know, I felt like I was watching a video game. Like, they knew what plays we were running. You know, and...
Well, I mean, look, you know right away, yeah. Rich, look, we don't even play for Tampa Bay, and we knew that the run game was going to be a feature because that's who they were. So they knew that stuff was coming. Now, how about you make up some other stuff to go out there and try different to have them on their heels? And and they did. Look, you know what, real fast, Rich? They did some stuff that I thought that Nick Sirianni devised, some offensive plays that were okay. They weren't executed properly.
Yeah, and I think we do need a new quarterback. It seems like every weekend the kid can't throw. It's like he has Dante Smith wide open, on that go route, one of the routes. And, I mean, it seems like he either overthrows him or just can't throw. But I just want to make a good point. I do want to get Pickett, though. I saw the kid, I saw the kid play in high school. The kid has an arm.
No, I mean, I saw him in college. Yes, the kid has an arm, but
if he has an arm, and I just don't want to give up 3 first-round picks for him when we have bigger holes to fill.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing, man. Will he fall to 19?
Yeah.
Where you can take two defensive players or the best available player with 14 and 15. If he is the best available player on your board at 19, do you take him? These are some of the questions that they're going to have to figure out over the course of this next 4 months when we get to that draft.
And hopefully Howie doesn't mess up our draft.
Hey, man. We're all on the same page. Pardon me, I won't say all. I'll say the 90 percentile. We're on that page together. We have our questions about him making the choices.
What I want to know is, like, okay, when does Jeffrey Lurie point the finger at Howie and say bye-bye?
None of us know that question, man.
If you're doing a bad job on your job, to me, I would be fired. I don't know about you,
Well, he apparently, Rich, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you starting things off for us. Apparently, he thinks he is doing a good job. The general manager thinks Howie Roseman is doing a good job, and that's why he is still employed and in that spot where he's making the big decisions for this football team and this organization going forward. We don't like it. We have no idea why he is still here, except for the owner decides that he is still capable of doing that job, and he trusts him to fix things and turn it around. And after, Rich, a 9-8 season, where this was expected to be a rebuilding year for the Philadelphia Eagles, and they came out publicly and said so, they make the playoffs. Rich, there's no way that they're moving on from Howie Roseman at this point. So you can get that one out of your head. Come to grips with it, please, because that's what it's going to be. I don't want you to be, as you said, disappointed with the loss that they had on Sunday. I don't want you to be disappointed once things roll around in March that Howie Roseman is still making the decisions and he's going to be the one calling the shots for the 2022 NFL draft for the Philadelphia Eagles. So get ready, my man. Buckle up. Buckle up. 610-632-0975. Final segment for us on the other side. Dan Fritz is here. I'm Devon Givens. We're going until midnight on this Tuesday night where the Flyers unfortunately fall in the shootout to the New York Islanders 4-3. We'll discuss that again one final time with you, as well as the Philadelphia Eagles in their offseason following their disappointing playoff loss on Sunday to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, discussing it until midnight right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
11:30, final segment here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Devon Givens with you, following Flyers hockey this evening. Flyers fall 4-3 in the shootout tonight to the New York Islanders. Now, winless in their last nine. Hopefully they can get it back together on Thursday against the Columbus Blue Jackets as they host former Flyer, longtime Flyer, Jake Voracek and the Columbus Blue Jackets back in town on Thursday right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. A quick trade in the NBA, not involving the 76ers, but hey, it's one out there, and the trade deadline is now less than a month away. February 10th is the date, and right now Denver, Boston, and San Antonio, they have got together for a three-way trade that includes Juancho Hernan Gomez of the Celtics. And if you remember, Gomez, he was, when the Celtics played the Sixers last Friday. And if you remember, pardon me, Tom McGinnis and I were doing the postgame show after the Sixers beat the Celtics on Friday and then Miami on Saturday, back-to-back nights. As Tom and I were discussing in the postgame, Tom was laying it out how Juancho Hernan Gomez was out there on the floor postgame recording, filming his part in the movie. Adam Sandler's movie on the floor. So perfect timing for them to get it done before he's traded out west now to San Antonio, where he was able to come in town to Philadelphia, where a lot of that was filmed in the offseason. Sixers players involved. Juancho Hernan Gomez obviously involved as well. Well, he's leaving Boston. He's going to the Spurs. All right, here's the rest of the trade, which shouldn't take much of our time because this is not a big trade. Bryn Forbes, the sharpshooter from the San Antonio Spurs, he now goes to Denver, so they add another shooter to go with their guard rotation in Denver. Actually like that move. Bol Bol, who was previously traded to the Detroit Pistons but failed his physical, sent back to Denver. He is now undergoing surgery. He's going to have him out for a couple of weeks. He and P.J. Dozier, also injured, I still believe, out for an extended period of time. P.J. Dozier is now going to the Celtics. So Hernan Gomez to the Spurs, Bryn Forbes to Denver, Bol Bol and P.J. Dozier to the Celtics. A minor trade in the NBA, and even though it's involving three players, I mean three teams, a three-way deal, they are going to the Boston Celtics. So we still await something with the Sixers, or not, because they may do nothing, even though they are still very much in it in the Eastern Conference right now as far as the standings go. Despite their loss yesterday to the Washington Wizards yesterday afternoon, they are 2.5 games out of first place. All of what's been going on, and they are still 2.5 games out of first place. Chicago Bulls and Miami Heat are tied at the top. They are two games back of the Brooklyn Nets in the Atlantic Division, a game back of Cleveland in the fourth spot, half game back of the Milwaukee Bucks in the five spot, and a game and a half up on the Charlotte Hornets in the seventh spot right there. Charlotte has that one. Washington is 2.5 games back of the Sixers. So still plenty of time to do something trade-wise. We'll talk about that as we get closer and as new stuff comes out about things involving the 76ers. Quite frankly, we're all talked out, I think, many of us, until actual information comes out about Ben Simmons and the Sixers. I've said for now weeks, and things have come out recently, where the Sixers are trying to now, reportedly are trying to attach Tobias Harris to any Ben Simmons deal. While that was not the information that I had, what I have been saying is this: in a separate deal, don't be surprised if Tobias Harris is moved before Ben Simmons. That information is now different based on other reports. I can only go off what I have been told. And what I was told early on was, again, don't be surprised if they're trying to move off of Harris's deal before Simmons, because that one might be more logical based on all the stuff that's going on with Simmons and other teams trying to figure out where he is, where his headspace is, the mental aspect of it that he and his representation have talked about, why he can't play. And it might be easier and it might be more beneficial for them to move on from Harris before they move on from Simmons. So we'll monitor it all. There have been some stuff that came out today with the Detroit Pistons where there was a potential deal of Jeremy Grant, Sadiq Bey, and I can't remember the other player. It doesn't matter. But it was a three-player deal from Detroit coming back here to Philadelphia for Ben Simmons. Apparently, the Sixers said no. I would have said no to that deal also. As much as I like Jeremy Grant, Sadiq Bey, and even in the first-round pick, I'm not interested in that deal. But, like I've been saying all along, make sure you're prepared for the fact that they're not going to get back what you think they're going to get back in any deal. So that's I'm still going with that. Still don't believe they get that star player. They're going to get something. What is something? I'm not quite sure. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a lot less than what people really think it is that they were going to get. Okay? That's just my opinion. That's just where I am. It's how I view it. And we still have plenty of time for that. Sixers play, though, tomorrow back here on the Fanatic beginning at 6:50 with the pregame coverage, which I will be handling. And they take on the Orlando Magic tomorrow, Wednesday, back here in Philadelphia. The Spurs on Friday in San Antonio. The Spurs on Saturday in San Antonio. They also play on Friday as well, as I look at the schedule, because there's so much that has been changing because the games needing to be made up and what the teams need to do to try to fit in some games. Like the Pelicans game has to be rescheduled. The Sixers took on the Houston Rockets this past week as well. But the Clippers on Friday, San Antonio on Sunday. So two games at home, Orlando and the Los Angeles Clippers. And on Sunday, 7 o'clock tip, San Antonio, the Sixers in San Antonio to take on the Spurs. So there's that. 610-632-0975. Dan, it seemed like you wanted to jump in when I was saying something about the, I don't know if it was the trade or the Tobias Harris part.
Well, I mean, I get it as far as wanting to attach Tobias Harris or do a separate deal that involves Tobias Harris. Personally, and I think a lot of people are going to agree, you wish they would do something as far as Ben Simmons. But as you said, we have talked every leaf, every square inch of bark off of that tree. There's nothing left to talk about until something happens, and it finally happens. You know, I've sat here many a days, many nights with you and the gang during the day, and you're like, I don't talk about Ben Simmons. Okay, as far as what? Well, he's got to go. Okay, as far as what? You know, we've already been up this tree.
Yeah.
Give me something different. Give me something original. But I definitely get Harris being attached to it, or it's his own deal.
Well, you get it being at least attempted.
Yeah, at least to see what you can get for it.
That's not easy. That's two max contracts we're talking about.
It is.
In one tree. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to end up in the same city, but when you hear the reports that it's Sacramento, you're trying to send them Harris and Simmons and any deal together to Sacramento, there's a lot that has to come back to Philadelphia in any kind of trade. And are the Sacramento Kings willing to give up everything that the Sixers might ask for? As an example, Fox and Halliburton with some sort of combination of Barnes or Hield and first-round picks. That's a lot of stuff. Oh, here it is. It was the Pistons trade, quickly. Reported in Jake Fisher, our friend from Bleacher Report, Pistons made the offer of Grant, Sadiq, Kelly Olynyk, and a first-round pick to the 76ers for Ben Simmons. Now, look, those are good rotational pieces to have on your team, but as a structure around Ben Simmons as the deal, it's not one that gets you excited. With all due respect to those three players. And look, we all know Sadiq from Villanova. We appreciate all the work that he did. Sixers probably should have found a way to draft him as well. Jeremy Grant, when he was here, he wasn't this Jeremy Grant. He has turned himself into a very good NBA player. Very good NBA player. And would help this team because of his length, his athleticism, his defense, and the ability to now score the way that he does in the league. He does provide you with some stuff that, quite frankly, they don't have on this team. Or they have it in Harris, but you have it a little bit better maybe in Jeremy Grant. And Kelly Olynyk, wanted him last year as a buyout candidate or a trade because of his outside shooting, the marksmanship that he is and has as a outside shooter. But as a package to put together for Ben Simmons going to Detroit, that's just not it. If Cade Cunningham is not involved, what are we talking about here? We're not talking about much. All right. Let's go to the phones. Adam wants to jump in on this as we bring this part of the conversation up. So let's go to Adam here in Germantown. Always great to catch up with Adam. How you doing, man?
Hey, how are you feeling, Devon?
Much better, man. Thank you. Much, much better. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, glad. Go get whoever you want. Include whoever you want. I mean, this goes for all the teams. Go get back Klay Thompson if you're the Golden State Warriors. Get back Draymond Green. Make whatever deals you want if you're Phoenix. If there's Sixers, again, it's include whoever you want. If it's Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons, I mean, to me, that's like a joke if you're going to include two-thirds of the core of last season. But go ahead, do it. You're not beating Memphis. I mean, I have checked out all these teams, and Memphis quietly during these couple seasons that went under the radar has gained tremendous team defensive chemistry. They get all over the offensive glass, and their record now reflects their, like, tremendous, I mean, I guess you would say, I hate saying youthful personnel. It's just their tremendous quality of personnel. They're a tremendous team. They're a tremendous team. To me, they're the favorites to win the championship, not just win the West. I'm sure you don't agree, but Memphis, to me, they're the team to beat. And I don't
think they're very good, man. And the way that they've been playing, where they went on that the win streak that they had, where they won 10 games in a row. They're 9-1 in their last 10. They're 31-15 now, good for third in the Western Conference, where they have now crept past the Utah Jazz. They're right behind the Golden State Warriors, 4.5 games back of the Phoenix Suns right now. This is going to be a really good run to see where any of these three teams, Phoenix, Golden State, Memphis, and I'll include the Utah Jazz because I think the Jazz are also in that mix where they should be in the discussion of, Adam, what they'll do at the trade deadline or in the buyout period to try to improve their team to best the others. And Memphis has a lot of stuff, man, and with Ja Morant leading the way, the supporting cast that they have, and they're doing this, as much as I don't like the guy, Dylan Brooks, he's a big part of what they're doing, and he's been out, and they're still winning. So they're a really good team, really good team.
Yeah,
Taylor Jenkins does a great job, and no one talks about it because they don't know who he is.
Exactly, and I was going to say, Taylor Jenkins came from where?
Yeah.
I'm just asking.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Taylor Jenkins, I believe he was, obviously he was an assistant, but I want to say he was also.
Was it San Antonio? Like, am I wrong?
No, I think he was in the G League. And
oh, God, I mean.
I can't remember exactly. I don't want to put my foot in my mouth.
No, it's fine. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, it's okay.
Yeah. What a hiring. And that guy, one thing about that team, they don't, like, dance in front of you. They just beat you. They just beat you. I mean, they don't even, they expect to win. They're just like, and they expect to win with defense, and they expect to win with offensive rebound. That's what kills you with that team. They get all over the offensive glass, and they get into transition and with their threes, and they never expect to lose. And they're just like, you never heard of us? You'll hear of us now, because we're going to beat you with our team defense. They just don't care whether you've heard of them or not. They are not afraid of the spotlight. They don't care if they're on national television. They just beat you. I'm sorry, but that team is far and above the other teams, and they are not my favorite team in the league.
Yeah, I got you. And quickly, Taylor Jenkins, he was last with the Milwaukee Bucks in 2018-19 before joining the Memphis Grizzlies, and then he became the head coach for them just a couple of seasons ago. So
what a hiring, because that
great
team
job
defines him. They're humble like him.
Yeah, yeah. He started out as an intern with the San Antonio Spurs. So how about that? Yeah, started off as an intern. So he came.
That is incredible. I guess that's like Spoelstra was with Miami.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sorry.
I'm glad you're feeling better. And I can't say go Memphis. I don't see anyone beating them in a best of seven series, and I don't see them facing elimination.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to watch how it all plays out west, and certainly a close eye, of course, the eye.
But Embiid will win the MVP as long as he gets close to 60 games, unless he had some sort of extended
some sort of setback. Yeah, again, yeah, I got
he'll
you.
Win the MVP.
He is balling right now, Adam. Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you. Yeah, and I haven't had it. I mean, we've talked about it, but the guy's just playing tremendous stretch of basketball right now. Joel Embiid and what he's been able to do now, scoring, I believe, 10, 11 consecutive games of 30-plus on the road, 11 consecutive road games where he scored 30 or more on the road. And that's just an outrageous number that he has going on. That just means he's in a good place offensively. defensively as well, doing the same thing yesterday afternoon against the Washington Wizards. He dropped 32 in the loss. Wasn't his fault. Only he and Tyrese Maxey were in double figures. Maxey with 18. Everyone else in single digits offensively for the Sixers. You were going to say something about the double figure thing?
The double figure, when they took him out in the third quarter, they were at home, right?
Yes, that's why I said road.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think he had 24 in the game against Boston.
Right. Something that was like the Boston game.
Yeah, yeah. And but when he went to Miami, again, scored 30-plus. And once again against Washington on Monday, also 30-plus. So that streak extends there on the road. Yep.
Even still more impressive on the road.
It is, because the crowd is against you, and he's constantly facing double teams, occasionally a triple team with what he's been able to do. Just a tremendous basketball that he's playing right now, and he has upped his his scoring number, where he is now in the category fifth in the NBA at 27.3, behind Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Giannis, and Trae Young for the top five in the points per game score right now. And the stretch that he's been on, again, he's had to do so at a big time stretch. Overall, the team right now, as we know, is 25-18. So there are 43 games in the books. He has played this season 32 games. That's darn good. And by the way, he had 25 against Boston in that win, where he scored 25 points, grabbed 13 boards, and that snapped his 30-plus overall, you know, streak of the 30 straight games, the 30 games that he has scored 30-plus. So for the month of January, he has only not scored in the 30s that one time. All right? So he had the 25, but they have played in 8 games this month. He has scored in 7 games, 30-plus games, in the month of January, averaging 30.5 points per game. The 3 games closing out the month of December, 36, 36, and 34. So, in the last 11, 10 of the 11, he's been in the 30s. And that's just how good he has been. He has been phenomenal.
I'll take it.
He has been phenomenal. So, to Adam's point of winning the MVP, hey, folks, if you feel like he's going to play in the 60s or a good amount of number overall of games played, go to DraftKings Sportsbook, check out the MVP numbers right now, and see exactly where he is, because you know what? I'll do that for us all right now. And we'll have the Draft Line show on Friday with Jamie Lynch starting at 6 o'clock for the Sixers game against the Clippers. We'll talk about all that stuff and look at the latest odds and all that of where things are. But in terms of the awards for the MVP right now, Steph Curry is first. Giannis is second. Jokic is third, the reigning MVP. Joel Embiid is 13-1 at 1,300. So if you want to mess around and drop something on that, by all means, if you feel comfortable, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. Drop a little something on it right now, 13-1. That's a pretty good bet. Now, it's kind of tough because Jokic is still playing very well as the reigning MVP, and no one's talking about it. Giannis, obviously, no one's talking about it. Everyone is talking about Curry all season because of Golden State surprising many and being one of the top teams in the league and in the West. Him breaking the all-time three-point make record overall. Denver is still 22-20. And Jokic is a big part of what they're doing. And right now, when you look at the team's statistics and look at the categories, he leads in every major category for that team. Points, rebounds, assists, steals, and block shots. Nikola Jokic. A team's not supposed to be where they are in the top six out west. He has 25 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists a game, 1 steal, 1 block shot. Playing amazing basketball. So, but I'm just saying, Joel Embiid at 13-1, that's a darn good number, man. That is a darn good number if you want to throw something on Joel Embiid for the MVP of the 21-22 campaign. All right, that'll do it for us. Dan Fritz, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. Following Flyers hockey, unfortunately a loss. Hopefully much better on Thursday hosting the Columbus Blue Jackets. I'll be back tomorrow for the Sixers pregame at 6:50 following Beers with Bob. Then the game at 7. I'll be back for the postgame and certainly in the post following the game. Hopefully the Sixers picking up another win to get back on track after falling to the Washington Wizards yesterday afternoon. For Dan Fritz, I'm Devon Givens. Thank you to everybody listening, calling, and tweeting. Talk to you tomorrow. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.